Chapter 17. The sky was the color of freshly spilled blood, and my ears popped with the sudden drop in air pressure as the world around us became thick and oppressive. That deep subterranean drone rattled my bones more than usual, as if I was inside the Liberty Bell the moment it cracked due to too much vibration. Even my teeth ached, and I figured it had to be because Gordo and his fuckstick second led us right to the epicenter of where a horde of terrifying demons portaled through from whatever dimension they came from, just like the nightmares in Doom. A circle of six or seven demons surrounded us in the small clearing, all told, and their hungry, glittering eyes and slavering, snapping jaws made Predator look like a bunny rabbit. Horace and I immediately formed ranks back to back, while the bald vulture man looked wildly around for his partner to no avail. If the Falcon Man hadn't said it earlier, this would have been all the evidence required to confirm we were led right into a trap by Gestapo Joe.
Gotcha! Where?
Gordo fell back and struggled to unsheath his sword as two smaller demons with lethal barbs dripping poison ichor converged upon him.
Gotcha!
A third larger demon joined the first two and stood upright on its back two legs so it could kick the vulture man with the rest of its powerful galloping limbs. He flew back and landed with a grunt, and his only weapon was flung from his grip. In less than a second, the two Scourge Mites stabbed him with their barbs rapid fire, and immediately Gordo's face turned red, then purple, and he clawed desperately at his throat as if he couldn't breathe. Then blood so dark it almost looked black began to hemorrhage from the vulture man's eyes, nose, and mouth.
The big one is the Herald,
Horace said, as the intense gold shine of his eyes faded back into its natural shade.
We need to figure out how to get out of here fast.
The Herald demon then lynched Gordo up with a fat muscular tentacle vined around his torso, like a boa constrictor. And it fit the vulture man's whole head in its bifurcated jaw like Ozzy fucking Osbourne before it snapped closed with a sickening crunch. And with an aborted Wilhelm scream, Asher Gordo was no more. Which was a bonus because I didn't have to deal with his bullshit duel anymore. But that also meant that the Herald demon was now turning its attention on us, its two remaining snacks.
That's not good,
I said, as the Herald demon dropped the decapitated body, and Horace and I armed ourselves with bow and sword, respectively, like we'd been fighting in sync all our lives. Horace let loose one of his deadly arrows, and the whistle of its feathered flight cut through the eerie, muted air. The point found its home and buried itself in a smaller demon's heart right as it lunged through the air, which caused the Scourge Mite to wail and curl in on itself. Of course, it didn't completely kill the demon because only an Asher could destroy the Scourge so it wouldn't respawn, so I took my cue and surged forward. I sliced upward through the barbed tentacle that was poised at Horus, and then I brought my blade down across its torso, double-handed with all my weight. It was almost like slicing through thick clay, and my forged blade even passed through Horus's lodged arrow as if it were nothing. The Scourge Mite shrieked as it positively hemorrhaged clumps of ash, and then it scuttled backward on all six spider limbs, hissed like a wet cat, and collapsed in a dusty, smoldering heap. I glanced down briefly as my Herald blade hummed in my grasp, almost like it was coming awake after a long slumber. I suddenly remembered that because this sword was modified with a demon core, something about that made it almost sentient in a way. At the time, Horace mentioned how he could feel the blade's enhanced attributes, and I remembered how the righteous judgment flowed through me when I killed Bala Ren. The slowly creeping awareness of the blade tingled against my palm, and I began to feel a steady thrum of power walk its way up my arm like an army of marching ants. At the same time, Ozzy the Herald demon cocked its head a full 180 like an owl, as if it could sense the core of one of its fallen comrades running through my sword. It did not like that one bit, and its jaws flew open in a furious roar that caused stinking globules of spittle and remaining viscera to fly out and spatter me with a hiss. Horace and I leapt back, and I scanned our surroundings for any option that would give us a better advantage, but the Scourge Mites closed in all around us. They didn't seem to want to make a move, and it was like they were taking cues from Crazy Train. Ozzy Demon roared again and reared back like an enraged stallion with four powerful kicking legs just as another sickening howl blasted through the stagnant air. More clay-like pillars molded up from the ground like some sort of hydra, as if destroying or maiming one would automatically produce three more. So, now, instead of about half a dozen growling, drooling beasts intent on shredding us like cabbage, there were at least 10.
"We need to run!"
Horace said again, as the demons tightened their circle like a noose.
"There's nowhere to go,"
I said, as Ozzy Demon fixed me with its malevolent glare. The tentacles on its back stretched out, and it balanced itself on its hind back legs, probably so it could use its remaining four to eventually tear me to pieces. I held my sword up at the ready and felt it hum as if I was holding a large tuning fork. The large demon hissed ferociously at me, and my righteous judgment blade gave a faint ringing sound like it was being sharpened with a whetstone.
"The Herald Demon senses your core blade,"
Horace muttered.
"I kind of figured,"
I replied, as Ozzy Demon's mouth snapped open and shut in a sign of aggression.
"Is the Herald keeping the others from attacking?"
"It appears so,"
the Falcon Man said, as the tense standoff stretched on with no move from the Scourge Mites.
"I confess, I've never been in this situation before, so I'm not sure as to what is going on. I know from lore that heralds command the lesser demons, but I don't know what it's waiting for."
"Let's not find out," I said with a determined scowl. "Can you keep the little ones off my back?"
"Not as effectively at this range,"
he said, as his sharp, gold-green eyes darted around.
"It would be better if I was in a tree, but we are surrounded."
"I'm going to make a hole for you, and when I do, find a tree where you can run point for me." I scanned the line of smaller demons, champing at the bit for the go-ahead from Ozzy Demon, and I didn't want to wait around for the other shoe to drop.
"Just don't interfere when I go after the Herald, no matter what you see."
"I understand," Horace said, even though he gave me a puzzled frown. But he slung his bow across his back and readied himself anyway. Then the Falcon Man crouched low, as if he was on a high school track team waiting for the gunshot to go off. I took a deep breath and tried to calm my racing thoughts so I could turn my focus inward. There was no time for meditation, of course, so I relied on the visualization technique Zoe trained me on as I pictured the seed pod of my power and let it germinate. Tick. The Scourge Mites squawked and jeered with hard malice glittering like diamonds in their multiple eyes. Tick. I let my gaze go hazy around the edges so I could observe the collective undulation of the slavering crowd. They panted and heaved, and as I let my focus narrow, I began to see their movements slow, as if the air was thick as syrup. The Herald Demon's main tentacle waved like it was underwater, and before it could catch on to my plan with its uncanny intelligence, I charged through the line of demons to my left and smashed through their ranks like I was in a game of Red Rover.
"Horace, go!"
I yelled, and then I let time snap back to the way it was. The world swung wildly back and forth, and for a second I almost lost my balance at the head rush I got. The Ozzy Demon roared in outrage, and the Scourge Mites suddenly scattered as if they lost the plot and didn't know what they were supposed to be doing.
"Alex!"
I heard Horace shout, and a moment later a deadly arrow thunked right between the eyes of a demon that decided to take a chance and lunge at me. It fell to the ground, and all hell broke loose.
"Fuck!"
I muttered to myself, as the rest of the Scourge Mites froze their previously uncoordinated scrambling and stared at me as one.
"Alex, run!"
Horace's voice snapped me out of my momentary terror, as 20 eyes pinned me like a bug to a corkboard. The Ozzy Demon roared and charged at me, and I had no choice but to dodge by rolling to the side. When I jumped up again, I had to quickly use my blade to block an incoming tentacle attack aimed for my head as the Herald Demon lashed out in fury. Then a second tentacle whipped out and caught me in the sternum, which caused me to fall on my back with a grunt.
"Alex, left!"
the Falcon Man cried again, and I tumbled away when the Herald tried to skewer me with one of its thick tentacles. The dirt sprayed on the left side of my face where the tentacle made impact with the hard ground, and I rolled away two more times just to be sure. The whistle of another arrow caused a lesser demon to drop mid-jump and crash into the Herald, which distracted it just long enough to allow me to get back to my feet. I deflected a barb aimed at my right flank just in time and slashed across the smaller demon's torso. It squealed before it collapsed into another scourge mite, like a croquet ball knocking another into orbit, until Horus finished both of them off with his arrows. Thwack! Thwack! Went another two. And then I stabbed a third through the chest, which now brought the demon count down to two scourge mites and one herald. Ozzy Demon stepped back as the two lesser demons stepped forward. Horus loosed another arrow, but the intelligent herald blocked the projectile aimed for one of its lackeys with a swipe of its arm. I breathed deep and pictured the light of my power trickling through the cracks in my seed pod focus. As if the herald knew what I was up to, the tentacles on its back exploded, and it gripped one of the lesser demons so it could fire it directly at me like a cannonball. To say I wasn't expecting this would have been a massive understatement. And of course my focus was shattered as I had to deal with a flying demon barreling straight toward me. I brought my sword up just as Horus shot another arrow, and I was left staggering under the dead weight of a stunned demon. It almost felt as if someone tossed me a duffel bag full of bowling pins, and I dropped down to one knee as I got tangled up in the lesser demon's pile of writhing limbs.
"Watch out for the second one!"
the Falcon Man cried out again in warning, as Ozzy Demon wound up to throw the last scourge mite at me. Horus tried to let another arrow fly, but it was smacked away again by one of the Herald's other thrashing tentacles.
"Dark Hell, that was my last arrow, Alex!"
"Noted!"
I yelled, and brought my sword up at the last second. The jarring sensation of teeth clashing against the metal juddered up my arm and made my elbow ache, and with my other hand I delivered a hook to the scourge mite's ugly face. The lesser demon yelped, but I didn't give it a chance to get away before I flipped my sword and brought my blade straight down through its mass of back tentacles. Ash and faint wisps of smoke puffed out from the fatal wound and burnt my eyes with the smell of rancid burnt meat. Then I kicked the scourge mite off my blade and faced Ozzy.
"Bring it, bitch,"
I growled, and I held my sword out two-handed. When Horus first assessed the weapon, he said the power was split between judgment and anger, and when I battled Ren, I could feel the righteous judgment rising up like the tolling of a bell that gave me the power to execute the vile worm. Now, however, the blade was pulling me toward the secondary power, and I felt an overwhelming tide of righteous anger pound through me to the beat of Crazy Train playing on a loop inside my head. The awareness of the sentient weapon tickled the back of my brain, and I sensed a purifying indignation pour through me, and in that moment I imagined this was what molten gold felt like. A burning need to slay, maim, and rampage fueled my blood, and I ran full tilt toward the herald as my vision nearly whited out everything except the target of my righteous anger.
"Die, Scourge!"
I roared out, and slid under the large demon's legs as if I was sliding into home base. The herald demon twisted around in confusion just as I scrambled up, ran four steps, and then swung my blade around nearly 360 degrees through Ozzy's torso in one devastating arc. Ash poured out of the wound like a waterfall, and a red stone welled up and fell out of the demon's midsection where all the guts and viscera should have been after such a violent disembowelment. The herald glanced down and then back up at me as if it didn't understand what just happened before its top half slid to the side and the demon crumbled like burning charcoal. I stood there and blinked up at the sky as the red sun faded and all the stunned demons molded back into the earth. I felt like I was in a daze, and I glanced down at my still vibrating herald blade. When I first got the sword, it came with an etching of a sapphire triangle at the base, right where Horus used his alchemical magic to merge the stone from Shay's headpiece to Zoe's heirloom blade. After I killed Ren, the triangle morphed into a circle, and just now, after killing the herald, the etching was still a circle, but now it looked only half-colored in, as if it was a little gas gauge. At first, I didn't understand what it was, but then I remembered how Horus told me blades with blue or purple gems have a limited number of times I could tap into their magically enhanced attributes. If I understood what my sword was telling me based on the half circle, I started with a limitation of three, like the three sides of a triangle, and now I was down to only one use left. I frowned and looked around to ask Horus more about the life of my herald blade, but the Falcon Man was already at my side.
"You did it!"
he said, and tugged my wrist toward the Ozzy Demon's ash heap. Then the black-feathered man crouched down to blow the sooty dust away from the ruby-like gem so its brilliance could shine.
"Now, harvest the core as only a triumphant Asher can."
I nodded, wiped my blade off on the leg of my pants, and then sheathed my weapon so I could then kneel down and pluck the blood-red stone out of the dust. A loud bellow roared out, and the forgotten gutter came crashing out of the trees with his hands curled into claws, intent on clamping around my throat. The beefy, pale wonder crashed into me and caused me to drop the red herald core as I was thrown to the ground.
"Horace, grab the stone!"
I grappled with the large man and rolled us sharply to the right and away from the herald core.
"Got it!"
Horace shouted. And then he came over and kicked Gutter in the chin in order to fling him off me. Or that was the goal. But based on the yelp of pain, I imagined the black-feathered man must have felt like he kicked a brick wall, because Gutter did not budge.
"What in the deepest pits of hell is your thick skull made out of? Omite iron? Mercedes?"
Instead, the traitorous metallurgist just leapt to his feet and left me gasping to catch my breath. He then clamped a meaty fist around Horace's neck and flung him bodily into a tree where he collapsed in an unmoving heap. I didn't have a chance to even yell out his name before Gutter grabbed me likewise and tossed me like a rag doll where I landed right in front of my unconscious friend. Horace had a little blood seeping through the shiny black feathers along his hairline, but other than that, he appeared to be just knocked out. The crimson core rolled out of his hand, and I reached for it just as something locked around my ankle. My fingernails tore along the rocky earth as I was dragged back, but in my right fist, I managed to grasp the gem. Before Gutter could get me in a compromising position where I was crushed and useless underneath his massive frame, I flipped on my back and kicked a spray of dirt right in his face. He roared as he swiped at his eyes, and I scrambled back.
"Give it to me!"
the enraged man screamed and staggered to his feet.
"Give me the core, and you will not meet a most gruesome fate!"
An idea took shape in my mind, and I rose to my feet as well. Then I summoned the focus I needed and breathed deeply through my nose. Tick. "You want this?" I asked, and held the ruby stone up in the glistening sunlight. Gutter's frost-blue eyes widened as I tossed the core up in the air. Tick. Gutter gasped and rushed forward, and I saw the air waver around him as he moved at half speed. I took my chance and kicked his right leg once, twice, and finally a third time so it would buckle. The giant man crashed to his knees, and the scarlet stone was forgotten completely as I swung myself behind him and put him in a rear-naked chokehold. Time snapped back to normal, and I dragged the large man back until we were both on the ground so I could get the maximum amount of leverage in order to compress his carotid.
"Arcus Dollar,"
the large man sputtered out, and then he fell limp as the last of his vital blood flow was cut off. Unlike Dagmar, I didn't even hesitate with killing him. The more time I spent in this world, and the more I had to lose, it had changed my views on mercy just a little bit, and I felt no remorse as I dumped his body to the side. That wasn't to say I enjoyed it any more this time than any of the other times. I sat there for a second with my forearms on my knees and panted to catch my breath. My face felt dirty and grimy, and I tried to find a clean place on the back of my wrist to wipe the sweat off my brow.
"Mr. Alex!"
Bowden's voice called out through the forest.
"Bowden!"
I called back, and the raccoon brothers, each armed with a shovel and spiky trowel, tumbled out into the clearing. They both looked dirty and banged up, with Bowden having lost his painter's cap somewhere along the way.
"Miss Zoe told us to follow you shortly after your departure,"
Mel graveled out, and dabbed at the seeping cut over his eye.
"We all knew Gordo was up to something diabolical-like."
"We're only sorry we couldn't get to you sooner,"
Bowden said.
"When the sun went red, we were waylaid by the scourge and couldn't find your trail. The noise led us to you. Did Gordo's second try to kill you?"
"Yeah, apparently," I said, and shook my head before I fixed my eyes on the curiously quiet Falcon Man.
"You know anything about that?"
"I think it would be best if we walk and talk,"
he said, and extended his hand in front of me. I held out my hand, and Horace dropped the ruby core I had thrown in the air to distract Gutter into my open palm.
I took it from him and slipped it into my pocket. Thanks. And that's probably a good idea. I want to get out of this forest. I don't know if anyone's told you this, but you move inhumanly fast, Brightwood, the Falcon Man said, as he helped me to my feet. I might have heard that from time to time, I said, and shook my head as my vision doubled. Oh, are you well, Mr. Alex? Bowden asked, as Horace steadied me with a hand on my shoulder. Yeah, I'm just... My vision doubled again, but I closed my eyes and breathed deeply through my nose until the sensation passed. I think I'm okay. Are you sure? You used up an awful lot of power just now. The Falcon Man's eyes briefly flashed gold as he scrutinized me. I sensed you summoned the Herald's power as well as whatever it was you did to kill Gutter. My blade has this symbol on it now, I said, as I unsheathed my sword so I could show him the etching of the half-circle. What does it mean? Ah, it means you may summon the power only once more before the core's power runs out, the metallurgist said. I figured it meant something like that. Is there a way we could reinforce this blade with another core? You mean reforge it? He asked. Yeah, I remember you told me how the red and orange cores last for an indefinite amount of time. Can we just stick another gem on there and call it gravy? I wiggled my sword back and forth a little to emphasize my point. It doesn't work like that, he said in a scandalized tone, as if I suggested he ordered a bag of Funyuns and a Mountain Dew at the Four Seasons. Has anybody ever tried? I asked, with a challenging eyebrow arch. Well, no, but... he said with a scratch of his chin. Think about it, is all I'm asking, I said. But for now, let's go home. I agree. Everyone is probably beside themselves with worry about us, so we should make haste, especially before the sun sets, he said, and went about rescuing any salvageable arrows that were stuck in the dirt from the scourge. I don't think there would be a demon moon right after we just had a red sun 2 days in a row, but none of what we knew about the demon seems to apply now. Once we're behind Ithaca's walls, we'll be safe, I said, and started leading us all out of the forest. Hey, Alex, Horace said shortly after we started on our way back, and the raccoon brothers fell back so they could watch for any other unpleasant surprises. What was it that Gutter said before he died? He mentioned someone named Arcus Dolor, I replied, as I stepped around a mound where a demon must have melted back into the earth after the red sun disappeared. Why? I looked over my shoulder and saw how the Falcon Man had stopped dead in his tracks. Arcus Dolor is the name of my hated father, he growled with a clenched jaw. I was afraid of this. Is this more about how you knew Gutter? I asked. Yes. Gutter and I studied the alchemical arts together, but where I refused to do my father's bidding, Gutter slithered in and placed himself at the old man's feet so he could lick his boots. Horace made a face, as if he was smelling something foul in the air like rancid beef. Father has an alliance with Gatetown's magistrate Gellivane, and when his lackey showed up with Gordo and Vane signed writ, I put two and two together. What are you thinking? I asked, as we finally made it to the tree line that bordered Ithaca's western side. I have a feeling my father is displeased with you, especially seeing as how you destroyed his alliance with Wren, Horace said. I actually think this is where I need to leave, because my presence will only anger him even more. Wait, what? You want to leave? I stopped, when I noticed Horace was hovering on the path as if he wanted to turn back. I don't want to leave. But I should, he said. Your father is already mad at me for stealing his daughter and killing his business partner. We might as well go three for three, I said with a grin. Mel stepped forward then and tucked his hands in his pocket as he offered his casual advice. I know you think you need to leave, but let me tell you, there's really no other place out there, mate. Your loyalty will be best served here. It's true, friend, Bowden said, and placed a hand on his brother's shoulder. Besides, I would have been dead without my second back there, and I'm pretty sure Shay would be mad if you left, and I've seen what happens when people get on her bad side, I added. Very true, Horace muttered, and shuddered at some horrifying memory I definitely needed to hear the story about in the future. And also, if your father really is coming after me, I'll need your help forging my new and improved blade, I said, and clapped him on the shoulder. Stay, Horus. This can be your home, too. Yes, okay, he sighed, and he lowered his black-feathered head as he smiled at the ground. You'll need my help if you want to do something as crazy as combining herald corps. Good, then it's settled, I said, and we grasped forearms before we finally left the forest behind.
Alex! It's Alex!
Shay's voice rang out moments later. I spied the group just on the other side of the open gate, and I knew Zoe at least must have been the one to keep them all behind the protection of the walls. But when they all spotted me, they ran down the slope, and I found my arms full of my two beautiful wives and one little orphan.
When the sun went red, I didn't know what to think,
Zoe murmured on my right.
We thought you were both lost,
Shay said, as she held me so tightly she trembled.
Did you fight any demons?
Rylan asked from his place sandwiched in between my wives. I did, I said with a grin, and reached into my pocket so I could plop the herald core into his palm.
Whoa!
He exclaimed, and shifted on his crutch, as if he wanted to jump up and down. You need to keep it safe until I need to use it, okay? I ruffled his hair, and laughed at his starstruck expression.
You can count on me!
Rylan reverently put the crimson gem in his pants pocket, and kept his hand clutched over the lump in the fabric.
We really are glad you triumphed, Mr. Alex, Mel said, as he shook my hand, followed by his brother Bowden.
Ah!
Rufus cawed from where he was perched on Jenner's shoulder.
Hey, buddy, where you been? I asked, as the crow moth fluttered over to land on my head.
He arrived shortly after you left with Gordo, and none of us even realized he went anywhere,
Shay said, and had him perch on her forearm so she could brush his dusty feathers.
He came bearing a message from Tovish, the koala man said.
Tovish is alive? I asked, as my eyes grew wide.
It appears so, but we do not know any more about his circumstances other than that he has requested to meet you 3 nights from now, he replied.
My vision suddenly swam as I struggled to add another thing on top of my already taffy-pulled brain.
I think I'm at my limit, you guys, I said, and felt my muscles sagging as exhaustion slammed into me like a Mack truck.
We are here for you, dear heart,
Shay said, and ran her fingers through the hair on the nape of my neck.
You've done such a good job taking care of all of us. Let Zoe and I return the favor.
Alex!
The slothman appeared at the gates and waved a big woolly arm.
Our Vida's made you something special to restore your strength,
my catwife then said with a wicked little smirk.
Some sort of porridge? Does that sound familiar?
My eyes snapped back up the hill to the gentle giant, and I saw him give me a slow wink before he turned around and shuffled back toward the kitchen. How could I forget about wedding porridge that allowed me to have sex like an immortal? It just so happens. I'm starving, I said, and pulled my two beautiful wives closer so I could kiss them each on the head.